welcome everyone here too. I would like to sing a song before we start, number 742 in the Faith and Praise. This song is like to really, as we sing, I would like to really think about the words, and goes well with my message. Maybe it will be even more clear than my message will be if we could listen to this song. When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your many blessings, see them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is over all. Count your many blessings, will attend. Help and comfort give you through your journey's end. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Thank you for singing that. The title of the message that I have this morning is Take Heart, I Have Overcome the World. And that was Jesus speaking. And I would like to encourage us to enjoy life through whatever we face. And, you know, I know that there are people that are suffering or are in much sorrow because they lost a loved one. I'm thinking of Ernest Whitmer family, and I see Daryl and Sandy here this morning. And I know that that sorrow is different than what I'm speaking of. That sorrow is hard to explain. It goes with you the rest of your life, and you learn how to deal with it. But I want to focus more on not becoming discouraged because of our circumstances that we face, even if we are whatever comes into our lives that we don't have control of. This message was it kept going in my mind, and I tried to go different routes, but I couldn't go there. And so finally I just told the Lord that I will just say this. And this it seems like to talk about how our election turned out was not fitting. It was disheartening to me, and I kept looking at this. And And I had hoped and prayed that, you know, the people of America would vote for Romney. And when I saw it wasn't this way, a cloud of discouragement came over me. And I kept thinking all week, why are we here? Why is this way? And, you know, my mind went many different directions. To understand what does it mean for Christians? What does it mean for Anabaptist people? And it frightens me when I know America has a president that pushes evil into law. When I see how much our country is like Sodom and Gomorrah, it frightens me. And maybe you feel I'm overemphasizing it a little, and that it's a small matter. You know, I hope that maybe I am. But what I see and what I hear makes me think that I'm not. And I would like to read for a scripture text from John 16, if you'd like to turn there. In this chapter, Jesus is telling disciples a lot of things about what will happen after he is gone. And if you go back to chapter 14 in John, he speaks about the Comforter coming and the Holy Spirit coming and how it's going to help them. In John 15, he talks more about how he is the vine. But all these chapters leading right up to his crucifixion bring out Jesus. It seems like Jesus wants to tell them a lot of things. He wants to comfort them. He wants to show them, give them tools that they can use after he's gone. And so in chapter 16, he brings this all to, in a final closing word. Because after chapter 16 and chapter 17, then he prays to God about all these people that he has given him. So chapter 16, let's read. I'll read the whole chapter. And just really pay attention to how Jesus is, when he's telling them, that you can get the feeling in there that he's wanting these people to know. He really wants them to have tools to go through this world and to be effective and good Christians and stand strong as they're going through this world. And I think it's for us today, too. These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will thinketh that he doeth God service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because, I'm going to stop just a little bit, when he asked that question, I think that Jesus is really wanting them to know the purpose for him to go. And it bothers him. I get that feeling out of that question. It bothers Jesus that you don't really care about the purpose that I'm going. That's what you should really care about. Verse 6, but because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, what is this that he saith unto us, a little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, and because I go to the Father. They said therefore, what is this that he saith? A little while. We cannot tell what he saith. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, do ye inquire among yourselves of what I said? A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me? Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, for the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish, for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh away from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, and your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I will show you plainly of the Father. At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father, and am come unto the world again. I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now we are sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Jesus answered them, do ye believe? Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is come now, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And that's where I just like to bring out that point even more strong, is Jesus tells us, be of good cheer, take heart, I have overcome the world. And he's telling us that because he wants us to overcome. That's what he wants us to get. He told them many hard things, things that were hard for them to accept. And in this chapter, we see Jesus in some ways telling his disciples goodbye. You know, he spends a lot of time telling them that I'm going to depart from you now. I'm going to go to be with the Father. And even though you can know about me and learn more about me after I'm gone, my presence, physical presence, will not be with you. And, you know, that's like we are, you know, humans. We have a really hard time. We miss somebody. We miss people, the human presence of people. We miss that. And that's why I think the disciples were very sorrowful, too, is because they knew that Jesus would no longer be with them. That was very hard for them to accept. He was giving them last-minute instructions. You know, he wanted them to have everything that they needed to be able to cope or to be able to go through this world and overcome. He says, when Jesus says, offended in those first couple verses, I think he's concerned about them stumbling or losing their salvation. He desires that whatever they're going to face in life, that it will not cause them to be discouraged and lose their faith in him. He wants them to keep their faith in God, in him. He warned them that they're going to be killed for their faith, and the very people that actually kill them will be the people that think that they're doing God a service. And we see that today yet. I think this chapter is valuable for us today. And maybe it's not more valuable, but it's just as valuable for us. And then Jesus says, I've told you, I'm telling you this in your presence, so when these things actually do happen, because they will happen, instead of you getting offended, you'll remember what I told you. And just because you remember, you'll think back, I told you about that, that'll give you confidence to move forward. If you realize if you can realize what I'm actually trying to tell you and remember it, then it'll actually give you strength. And you know, many times when we are in the battle, we're battling discouragement, it is because we've done something profitable in the kingdom of God. Many times when we face discouragement, it's not because we're doing something wrong. It's because we've done something right. And I think a lot of times that when we face discouragement, that we get all on ourselves and we think that everything's going wrong. We think that we've done wrong. We think a lot of things like that. But there's a battle going on, and we were in the midst of that battle and part of that battle, and maybe still are. And that's why we're facing the discouragement. And that's what Jesus wanted disciples to know. It's what he wants us to know. That's why he said he gave all these negative things that are going to happen to Christians, to people that follow him, that serve him. And it sounds like such a discouraging story, because why would I go serve you when you tell me people are going to kill me? It's the opposite of what human nature thinks. But that is where I just want to really get that point across, that the very thing that is negative is actually a positive thing for us. And if we can see that, Jesus wanted us to see that. It should be the very thing that gives us confidence to go through the battle and not become discouraged. He also tells them that he'd love to tell them a lot more, but he doesn't think they can accept it yet. The Holy Spirit will bring that to them. And then in the last verse, he comes back down to this again. I'll repeat it. Don't faint. Be of good cheer. You will face many trials, but don't be discouraged. I overcome the world. You can overcome the world. I'll give you the strength. Just ask for it. That's what he had said earlier. I have the power and the sources to help you overcome. I'm going to change a little bit now. In Hebrews 12:1, it says, let us lay aside every weight and sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience that race that is set before us. When our world is coming down around us, what do? Do we get upset? Do we get discouraged? Do we get despondent and say, feel like giving up? This morning, I want to encourage us to lay aside all those weights of discouragements, those things that make us discouraged, those things that bring us down, those thoughts that bring us down. Lay aside those. That's what the writer says in Hebrews. Lay them aside. Don't let those wreck your race from winning. Lay them aside. Put them over to the side of you and tell God, I don't want to think about those things. They're not worthwhile. And dwell on your blessings. If you get into the discouragement, it's from the devil. And if you get discouraged about what God has done for you and what he can do for you in your Christian life, that'll start to cause you doubt in your life. You'll start doubting your Christian life. That's a devil's trap. And eventually, you could lose your faith. Jesus said, don't faint. Be of good cheer. I have overcome. You can overcome. And I think it would be good for each of us to evaluate or ask ourselves, what gives us the most joy? What gives you the most joy? Just think about that. What gives you the most joy in your life? Is it shopping? Is it buying a new car? Having your house perfectly clean at all times? Is it cooking lunch? Is it coming to church? What brings joy in your life? Just be honest with yourself. What do you enjoy about life the most? Each of us have something that we enjoy the most. There is something that we enjoy more than anything else. And it should be that we love the Lord, of course, and that what he's done for us, that joy, that what we do for him, that should give us joy. But I'm not going there quite yet. I'm just going more on just an everyday thing that we do. Maybe Starbucks coffee for some of you. I don't think coffee is wrong, because I like Starbucks coffee. But the point I want to make is that, because I see people in all around us, in even us in our own church, that we have trained our, we've either been trained or we've trained ourselves so that we have to have things a certain way before we can actually enjoy our life. If we don't have things set up exactly right, if we don't get our coffee brewed just right or whatever, then we can't enjoy it. And we let things like that discourage us. Maybe it's a certain brand of clothing that we think we have to have. Or maybe we have to spend, when it comes up to Thanksgiving, we have to spend Thanksgiving in a certain way or we're not going to enjoy it. If there's any sacrifice or anything that we have to give up for Christmas vacation or for Thanksgiving, we can't enjoy it because it's not right. It's not the way we think it should be. And the only way we really can enjoy something is that things are in the perfect way that we want them to be. So I would like to encourage us this morning to not look at it that way. If we would have to give up our morning cup of coffee, could we still enjoy our morning? In our culture, in the way we go through in our lives, we have it so nice, and we have automatically, without even trying, we've trained ourselves or we've gotten bad habits where we can't we don't see any joy in sacrifice. We think that if we have to sacrifice, there's no joy left. And I just want us to encourage us to look at all of the small things in life and look what William said last Sunday in his message and appreciate those things and to not think that life has to be perfect to have joy. We can have the joy of the Lord in whatever we're faced with. And that is hard to accept for me sometimes because there's some pretty harsh things that God allows us to have in our lives at times. And it can really threaten our joy, take it away. And I think it is good for each of us to learn to have this peace and joy when we're in the very depths of despair. Try to see what God has done for us. I think that's what Jesus was building up when he taught the disciples in this last chapter, when he told them all these negative things. He wanted them, he said it like two times, maybe three times, I'm trying to encourage you, but you're sorrowful. I'm trying to show you that you have a lot to be thankful for and to be excited about, but you're sorrowful. I'm telling you this stuff in seemingly like a negative way, and you're all taking it like it's terrible, it's sorrowful. And I've stretched it. But I think that was I think that Jesus was trying to get that point across. He doesn't want us to get discouraged and despondent when we feel like our perfect life got wrecked. And I believe it's normal for people to have to want to have a good quality life. I don't think that we should try to look for a terrible life and say that we're going to have joy during that time. I think it's good to try to be healthy. It's good for Christians to care more about or to care about the direction our country is going to. And because it has an effect on us, it seriously has an effect on which way our country goes. We're going to reap from that, and I think mostly in our children's lives are going to be the people that reap from it. And so we need to prepare our children to a little differently than what maybe we grew up, because it is different. It's good for us to recognize how the world is becoming more wicked and growing away from God more than they used to. It's good for us to recognize that, you know, mainstream Christianity has accepted a lot of the world's philosophies. And maybe it's even wise to move to another country to raise our children to a better environment, if you can find one. But it is not good for us to be discouraged and disheartened of what we're facing. That is life. That is what God, Jesus told us we're going to face in this life. And so we shouldn't be all down and out about because of what we're faced with. What we're faced with is part of life. And some people have it better, some people have it worse. And at some point in life, you're not going to have it as nice as you had it at other times in life. So, we need to take heart. In this world, Christian people will face trials and sorrows. Take heart. Jesus said, I faced them all and I overcame. You can too. There is another ditch that we can fall into that I don't want us to fall into. And, you know, when it comes to the political part of our world that I had admitted to being discouraged about, there's a ditch that we can fall in there, and I don't want us to do that. Jesus said that my kingdom is not of this world. And it's easy for us to think that this means we shouldn't care about the way the world is going. I don't think that Jesus meant that. I think that Christians should not say that we're neutral on issues. And, if you don't vote, then we feel if you don't vote, then you shouldn't have an opinion. And I don't think that's quite biblical. Christians should never be neutral on these kind of issues because they're sinful issues. And we should speak out about sin. We should pray for our country in this way, that our country would not decline so fast into sodomy. That's not a word, but I've made it one. But don't be discouraged about living a Christian life. Learn to enjoy life while facing difficult situations. Jesus told his disciples that they would face difficult times in life and take heart. You can overcome. And so I think that's really what he's telling us to do. Just one last thought, just to leave with you. I have a couple of poems I'd like to read too, but Christians should not depend on our circumstances for our joy, to enjoy our life. Christians, people, we should learn to enjoy our life in whatever we face. And I'm repeating that again. I said that a couple times, but I think that we struggle with being so materialistic minded that if things aren't like we like them to be enough, that guides our joy more than if we have nothing. And I think the people that have nothing have an easier time having joy than people like us that have everything. So let just hope that can encourage you. I want to read these couple of poems here that I found in closing. If God says yes to our prayer, and the sunlight is golden, the sky is blue, while the smooth road beckons to me and you, and the songbirds warble as we go, pausing to gather the buds at our feet, stopping to drink of the streamlets we meet, happy, more happy, our journey will grow. If God says yes to our prayer. If God says no to our prayer, and the clouds hang heavy and dull and gray, if the rough rocks hinder and block the way, while the sharp winds pierce us and sting cold, there is home at the journey's end, and these are the trials the Father does send, to draw us as sheep to his heavenly fold, if God says no to our prayer. And then these don't have, I don't know who wrote these little poems, there's no name up here. When the frosts are in the valley and the mountain's tops are gray, the choice buds are blighted and the blossoms die away, a loving Father whispers, this cometh from my hand. Blessed are ye if ye trust where ye cannot understand. If after years of toiling your wealth should fly away and leave your hands all empty and your locks are turning gray, remember then your Father owns all the sea and land. Blessed are ye if ye trust where ye cannot understand. I'll close with that. I'll leave it open for a little bit if someone wants to share a little bit.
Thank you.
Well, I think we'll close at this time, and we'll stand for a closing word of prayer. Norvin, would you lead us in closing word of prayer? Dismissed.